Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I'm Faye Davis. I am here today with Carla Soans, and we are super excited because we're doing kind of a follow-up episode to last week's episode about pains of change. So this week, we're going to be talking about 8 steps to lead effective change.
Yeah, so here's the deal, everybody. I self-admitted that I'm a little bit of a change junkie last week, but what I didn't admit and what I will today is that even when you really like change, when you're in the middle of change and everybody is looking to you to lead through change, sometimes you feel a little lonely and like you need a buddy. And for me, I have a great support system around me, both at work and, you know, mentors and certainly at home too. But there's something about going back to like a theory, like some type of stages that helps create a lot of clarity in your mind, because mm-hmm. you can get really lost in a change cycle.
You can. And every change looks different. And it's nice to have a framework to be like, either to look at and say, these are the steps that are coming, or to say, this is where we are, or to say, this is where we've been.
Exactly. And to just kind of recenter, like, this is normal.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, you know, there's tensions that arise and you can, tensions create feelings and feelings can get swept away and you can get easily like frustrated or annoyed. But when you go back to the theory and you recognize like that's normal human behavior and there's actually a step in the change cycle that kind of addresses some of this, it's easier to see like, okay, this is a process and it's not happening to us. We actually get to lead a process through, and there's some real concrete, you know, evidence of how to do that that's yes. been studied. So and let's talk about it today.
Yeah, because with intention, you can guide, maybe yeah. not control completely, but you can definitely guide where your team goes.
And it gives you confidence, I think, as a leader. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's sometimes I mentioned like it can be kind of lonely. And I think what that loneliness does is it sometimes causes you to doubt yourself. And when you when you can go back to places that give you confidence and say like, okay, this is a normal change process. And so let me look at what a change process is and how other people have studied it. Then it gives you confidence like, oh, I can do this. Like other people have done this. There is a model to follow. This is really a process.
Yeah.
I'm not alone.
You are not alone. So let's talk about it.
Yeah. So Faye, today we're going to talk about Dr. John Cotter's research, and I think that you're going to put a graphic up. So if listening to all of this seems overwhelming and you're a visual person, Faye's going to put a graphics up on the Jobs Team podcast page. But we're just going to talk a little bit about the 8 steps of implementing change successfully.
Yes.
According to Dr. John Cotter, and he's not the only one that's done work on this, but I think his work has been kind of a staple for me, and I know it has for you, Faye. So, and we teach it in a lot of our leadership programs here. So why not talk about what we know best, right?
Let's do it.
Okay. So number one, create a sense of urgency. So when you think about that, it's about helping your team understand the need for change. So that seems real common sense. Like the team already knows that change is coming, right? But you would be surprised that there are people who recognize that change is happening, and there are people who will stick with what we've done always and ride that boat until it sinks.
Yes.
So as the leader, and it doesn't matter if you're leading a small group of people, it doesn't matter if you're leading, you know, stakeholders that, you know, maybe funders of your organization. It doesn't matter if you're leading the entire organization or if you're leading at home. You have to help people recognize that change is upon us. And it's a great time to kind of talk about the opportunity and kind of cast that optimistic outlook of, yes, things are changing, but here are all of the opportunities and why.
And I that's what I love about Cotter's wheel is that it's a circle.
And it starts with this first step at the top, but in the center of it, he doesn't call it the change. He calls it the big opportunity, because that's how you need to frame it.
Yeah.
So where are we going after this?
Okay. So after you kind of have conveyed that big opportunity, it's time to start thinking about building a coalition. So I have learned this a lot this year. There's a lot of times that you think everybody knows the direction that you're going, but it's so important to have a coalition of people that are excited about the change, because they really can then help guide, can help coach other people, can help coordinate it and communicate it. And it takes a lot of the pressure off of you. It brings new insight into your ideas. It also changes the voice. And so then the change isn't your doing, it's our doing. And so building that coalition, so finding people that are excited about where we're going, excited about that big opportunity, and are willing to communicate it in their own words with a group of people is the way to go. So you create that sense of urgency, you build a little coalition, and then you get down to forming the strategic vision, which is part three. And so here is where a lot of leaders start. You know, you create the vision before you've cast the opportunity or brought a group of people in. You feel like you have to do that yourself. And this is where you actually get to link a lot of the great ideas that you have. And you may have done some pre-work here, but you vet that with others, you find solutions, and then you kind of help create that really clear vision at this point that other people, you know, what are you asking people to do and why?
And I think this is such a critical part of the change wheel, because this is your opportunity to look at everything you're doing and all the ideas you have and linking it back to why this change is happening and how these new processes or these new things or the old things that you're keeping, how everything links together to make and support this change.
Yeah, absolutely. So now that you know what you're asking people to do and embrace in this change, now it's time to enlist an army. So we had a small coalition. We brought them in. We got their ideas. We know that they have our back, but we need an army because there's a lot more work to do. And so this is the time to communicate. It's time to really get people rallying around the opportunity. And your coalition is going to help a lot on this. But it's time to really, you know, it's when you really need to extend and communicate to everyone, because the more people that are that know your big opportunity and why you're doing what you're doing, the better. And you can also, at this point, it gives you the great opportunity to address some of those concerns that we talked about in the last podcast. And we talked about how different people have different feelings of loss when there's a change, and how do you mitigate some of those? What are you able to mitigate? What can't you mitigate? And what are the things that you would mitigate if you knew about, but you didn't even know because you didn't ask? So when you list this army, it allows people to kind of openly talk about like those concerns, those anxiety moments. And then you're able to tie it back to the vision.
I think that's so important that you just brought that up, because that's, again, leadership is listening. And that's such a big part of it when you're enlisting this volunteer army to become that critical mass to help accelerate the change even more, and to get all that buy-in from everybody. You have to listen to people's anxieties, and you have to answer the questions, and you have to be there so that people trust the leader and trust the change that's coming.
Absolutely. And then, you know, what happens, I think, is then you get to the next step, which is really enabling the action, right? You've asked them to do something, and now it's your job as the leader of this change process to then make sure that they have the tools and the processes to do it, and that you're there to help remove obstacles mm-hmm. or to open doors. So you have to think about, like, when somebody says, like, well, I know that that's what we need to do, but here's an issue. Our system doesn't collect the right information for that report, let's say. Then it's your job to give the clearing to say, that's a problem that we now need to solve, and who needs to be at the table to solve that problem.
And I want to pause on this step real quick, because this is also the step where you're going to address resistance. And you talked about processes and hierarchies and data, you know, those things that you can easily change. That's a technical problem. But what if you run into the adaptive challenge of people that are resisting change? How we talked about this last week, but when people perceive the loss of a change as greater than the gain of the change, they're going to hang on to the old and they won't ring in the new. So how can you help people remove their own barriers to change?
Okay, so you're going to have people who are really resistant. And I would be a liar if I said that everybody's just going to jump on board. I mean, think about people who are still really resistant to a lot of change technology that has just happened in our world, and they just are opposed. You're going to have people who, for whatever reason, that doesn't jive with them. Now, I firmly believe that some of them that are in that like bucket, if we say, some of them will never come around. There's probably nothing that you can do, but the majority of them can. And we have to view that entire group with the optimism that it's our job to know that at the end of this relationship, we've tried to do everything that we could to create a setting in which they could come around.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll feel okay with a few who say, that was too much change and I liked doing things this way and I'm going to go find an employer that does things that way.
Yep.
Then that's okay. We can both feel okay about that.
Yes.
So ways that you can help get that group to kind of come alongside. And again, that's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But I think it's really thinking about starting, you know, as a leader, do you have a good trust base? Like, do people trust you? And that's something that you want to establish before you do any big changes. You know, you want to, you know, establish that trust where you can. And you want to have good communication and you want to address some of the common fears that come in change. You know, when you're talking about organizational change, people immediately start thinking about, like, am I going to lose my job? Is my job going to change? And as a leader, again, sometimes you see things really clear because you've been a part of every conversation or almost every conversation. But you have to think about how other people feel, and they may not know that. And it's your job to help to alleviate some of those anxieties
100%.
Where you can. Other things that you can do is really try to generate some short-term wins. Like, there's nothing that brings a team together than celebrating victories.
100%.
So you have to be a cheerleader. You have to be the energy behind, like, hey, regardless of how hard some of this has been and how anxious we might be about the change that we're working through, success motivates. And so let's celebrate victories. Like, every victory along the way, it's your job to really, you know, be the one to say, like, stop, we're celebrating this because this is a moment in our journey and we're going to give it time.
Yes.
And to sustain that acceleration, I mean, when you start pressing, you're going to get initial wins and then you're going to get a point where you have to keep on the accelerator, right? And that's hard because it's systems change. Like, once you start a change process, there's more and more changes that come along with that you didn't even realize needed to happen until you started. And so how do you sustain that acceleration, sustain the energy of the team around this, putting good policies in place, kind of being that person that is relentless, not in a bad way, but that you are pushing for us to get through this together.
And I think that this is such an important step too. This is an often forgotten step, but a lot of, like, conventional wisdom talks about change happening slowly over time, years, you know, and research is coming out nowadays that people will accept change better if it's done quickly and if it's accelerated and it's continuously, you know, there's a continuous pace to it, because once it peters out, people are going to lose interest in it. People are not going to be on board. So this step of sustaining that acceleration is so important to keep that inertia going.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then lastly is really just kind of instituting it. I mean, we started by saying the center of the wheel is a big opportunity. That's a big opportunity. You can't let it not only not just kind of peter out, but you have to institutionalize things. It can't be something that we just did one time and it was a good exercise and then we're done. So you think about, like, diversity, equity, inclusion. I think that's an easy one to talk about. You can do a lot of activities. You can embrace it for a period of time and launch cool initiatives, and the leader can be on the gas and you can have a lot of energy. But if it's not institutionalized, when that leader leaves or conditions change, it can die.
Right.
So if you want another group to not have to go through some of the hardships of the initial change happening, you have to institutionalize.
Yeah, because if those things don't become part of the way your organization, not you, Carla, but say Consultant Connect as a whole, it needs to be owned by the entire organization. And that's how you will be able to institutionalize those things. And then we're at the very top of the wheel again, which means it starts all over again because change is cycle. It's continuous.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, sometimes it's easy to hear these steps and to think like, holy cow, like that's a lot.
It is a lot.
It is a lot, but it's all a part of the process. And I think it's really, sometimes you realize like I'm forming a strategic vision and I haven't really had the guts to ask some other people what they even think about this. Like you can feel like you have to solve it by yourself. And so that's why I like to go back to the wheel to say, how am I feeling as a leader right now in the change? Where do I think we're at? And did we kind of go through some of these steps? Because it's a lot easier when you're doing it with people.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a better idea.
And it's always better with multiple perspectives on it.
Absolutely. And then like enlisting an army, like you get ready to communicate. And it's like, it's way better to communicate when you start seeing that rapid spread.
Yep.
And that excitement. So I think it's a really good, it's a good process.
It is. It's a great framework to, you know, and not everybody is going to be able to follow it verbatim, step by step. But in general, a change cycle, this is what it looks like. And it's important knowledge for leaders to have in their back pocket and a great tool that we've used and relied on a ton, like you've been saying. So, Carla, do you have any parting words for our listening audience today?
No, I mean, here's the deal. I think we've now talked about change two separate episodes because change management is, that is leadership. That is what we're doing. And it almost became a buzzword in leadership, but the reality is it's always been like you're all, you know, great leaders are managing change processes. They're changing the landscape of their community if you're in economic development. And it's really, really important. And it's something that you have to stay refreshed on. So it's easy to listen to a couple of episodes and kind of get reignited and maybe you pull up the wheel and you kind of take a look at it. But I just encourage you to carve out the time for yourself every few months at least to just think about change, to kind of make it an intentional practice of, you know, what changes am I leading right now? Because as a leader, you become so used to leading your organization that sometimes you don't even realize that what you are leading are change practices. It's not your first rodeo, but for other people it is, and you are actually leading change. And so there's always ways that you can do that better and more intentionally. And carving out that time to keep it top of mind is the only way that you'll continue to sharpen your saw.
I love it. Well, on that note, everybody, we're looking forward to you joining us for another episode next week. Enjoy the rest of your week. And Carla, I'm excited about it.
I am absolutely excited about it too.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.